I enjoy that special very, very much. Please take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, please, if you will. It's a joy to be here at West Park Baptist Church, and thank you again, Pastor McClure, for the opportunity. Pastor and Mrs. McClure both hold a very special place in my heart. I sure appreciate their kindness to me, especially that summer that I had the privilege of working here. I appreciate their humility, their leadership. I appreciate their willingness to take a chance on me. They didn't know me from Adam, and yet they hired me, and I have the wonderful privilege of working here for the summer. I did learn so very much. I said in Sunday school, it was the very first time as a young man that I ever got involved with preaching on a regular basis, and I can't even believe that they didn't fire me just for that, just, for learning to preach. And I told you in Sunday school that my very first duet was sung here at this church. Woody Samuels and I practiced, believe it or not, in the men's restroom for an hour and a half, a song. We sounded better in the restroom, but they wouldn't let us sing that way for the service. And then also in the year-end program, I had my very first solo. It was also my very last solo. And so anyway, a lot of firsts for me that summer. I really enjoyed it very, very much, and I did learn so very much. I remember a conversation I had with Pastor McClure. We were in the van, and I think we had, after one of the services, we were all going to get something to eat, and we were talking about music, and he shared with me his philosophy on Christian music, and I will never forget that. And a lot of the decisions I made as a pastor and in ministry go back to that conversation. You probably don't remember that, but I sure do, and I sure appreciate you investing in me as a young man, and it's just a joy to come back and be a part of West Park Baptist Church and the service this morning. Just to give you a recap, if you weren't able to be in Sunday school, I was a pastor 15 years, and I went on a missions trip. And one missions trip turned into six, and four of those six missions trips were with Worldview Ministries, the ministry that I now serve with. And as I was on these missions trips, I was made aware of a statistic that has changed my life and has changed our lives. And the statistic is this, that more than half of the languages of the world do not have a Bible. Specifically, of the 7,099 languages in the world today, and please remember this number, 3,876 of them do not have one verse of Scripture in their language. And that is why Worldview Ministries started to train Bible translators so that they can translate the Scriptures into the heart languages of the 3,876 people groups still waiting for the Word of God. Aren't you thankful for your Bible this morning? Amen. And so we believe all people and all nations and all tribes and all tongues and all kindred deserve the Bible as well. As a matter of fact, let me just read for you in as I wrap up my presentation part of the service. In Revelation chapter number 7 and verse number 9, the Bible says these words, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great number which no man could number, all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And those verses remind us of a truth that we all already know, and that is that one day, standing around the throne room of God for all eternity, is going to be a representation of every people and tribe and nation and kindred and tongue. I appreciate Brother Walt. He gave me his business card, and it says on that business card, every nation, equipping every people group and every age group to witness to every person. And when you look at Bible verses that remind us that every representation of every people group in the world will stand around the throne and worship the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity, and when you look at scriptures like that and you compare them to the statistics that 3,876 people groups are still waiting for the Bible, I think you'll agree with me, we have a great responsibility and a great job before us. Amen. And so I'm so thankful for the privilege of serving with Worldview Ministries. We are on deputation raising support for our family. God's been so good. We're about 50% of our support after 14 months. We're thankful for that. But more importantly, as I ask you to pray for the Fennell family on deputation, more importantly than that, pray for the ministry of Worldview Ministries and the propagation of the Word of God to the unreached people groups of the world. Again, now, if you will, take your Bibles and look at Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read verse number 1 and then verse number 6. And then we'll make a few comments and get into it this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look at that part of the very first verse we read, verse number one, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. From this text, we want to look at this thought this morning, the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith. If you like alliteration, you could title it this way, birthmarks of belief. But we want to take a few minutes and look at the evidence of faith this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless as we look at this portion of Scripture. Father, we again thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning. We thank you for the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for good godly music that point all direction to the one that deserves it most, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity we have to open up your holy, powerful word to see what you have for us. I pray, Lord, that you would use at this time the power of your word and the power of your spirit to do a great spiritual work in our hearts, in our lives, in our marriages, our families, our church family, and our circle of influence, as you've called us to be salt and light. Bless now this time. We pray if there's even one without Christ today, that they would be saved. And Father, we pray you'll strengthen the believer, convict us, encourage us. And Father, we'll thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're saved, then you have already taken the greatest step of faith that you will ever take in your entire life. But just because you have taken the greatest step of faith that you'll ever take in your life doesn't mean that you're all through with faith. For the Christian life is a life of faith. Not that our salvation is a progressive salvation. Once we're saved, we're always saved, and we're saved at a moment in time. But our Christian life is a life of faith. Jesus in the Gospels talked about no faith, little faith, great faith. And that communicates to me that no matter where we are in the area of faith this morning, we can always increase our faith. Our faith can be strengthened in our Christian life. I remember hearing a story one time about a sweet, saintly woman who loved the Lord oh so very much, and she had a unique habit. Every morning she would go out on her front step, her front porch, and she would shout at the top of her lungs, "Praise the Lord!" Well, she did this day in and day out. Well, she had an atheist neighbor, and he despised this tradition. And so he would shout back to her when she would say, "Praise the Lord." He would shout back, "There ain't no Lord." Well, this went on day in and day out. Well, one time this lady, she fell on hard times. She ran out of some groceries, ran out of food. And so she went out on her front step as she did every morning. She started with a hearty, "Praise the Lord," and then she audibly, out loud, broke out into prayer. And she said something like this, "God, you know I need groceries and I'm asking you to provide, and I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' name, amen." Well, the next day she woke up, went out on her front porch, and lo and behold, 3 bags of groceries. Boy, she was excited. I would be too. And she was excited. She was jumping up and down the best that she could, and she was saying over and over again, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Well, that atheist about that time jumped out from behind a bush. He said, "Aha, I got you this time. I bought those groceries for you. There ain't no Lord." Well, that didn't stop her. She kept jumping up and down and shouting amen and praise the Lord. And then she said this, "God, thank you for providing the groceries and even making the devil pay for them. Amen." Now, I know that you know this, the difference between belief and a believer and an unbeliever is belief, right? It's faith. But again, if you're here today and you're saved, you've taken the greatest step of faith, but that doesn't mean you're through with faith. God still wants to increase our faith. God wants to strengthen our faith. And so we want to take a moment and look at the evidence of faith this morning. Look at verse number one again. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let me ask you a question. According to this verse, faith has evidence. What is that evidence called? Now don't answer out loud, just think about it for a moment. According to this verse, faith has substance. In other words, the Christian life is a life of evidence, not a life of emptiness. Faith has evidence, it is not empty. According to this verse, faith has substance. It is not shallow. Have you ever heard someone say this? Well, I have faith. However, I don't like to talk about it very much. It's a very private thing. And so I don't talk about my faith very much. Well, not to be unkind or unloving or on anything, but that's not Bible faith, is it? For faith has evidence, faith has substance. And again, to ask the question, what is that substance? What is that evidence called? Well, we could take a moment and develop this, but let me just give it to you. The evidence of faith is obedience. The substance of faith is obedience. We sing it as a child. Obedience is the very best way to show that we what? That we believe. We sing it as older children. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so faith's evidence, faith's substance is called obedience. James 2, James says it this way, faith without works, or we could say faith without action, or we could say faith without obedience is a dead faith. But the opposite is true. When we have a real, living, vibrant faith, it's evidenced in our obedience, and it gives our Christian life substance. Is your Christian life this morning a life of substance? Now, I'm going to ask you this, and we're going to look at a very quick outline this morning. But I want you to pause and just ask yourself this question. Really, this is the heart of the sermon. What is it that you know without a shadow of a doubt God wants you to do? And yet it's difficult for you to do. It would take some faith. Maybe for someone, let me ask that again. What is it that you know, without a shadow of a doubt, God wants me to do? I know it. Brother Bill, God wants me to do this. God wants me to do that. I know it without a shadow of a doubt, and yet it's difficult for you to do. It would take some faith. Maybe for someone here this morning, it's to get involved with a certain ministry. Maybe for someone here this morning, it's to get baptized. Maybe it's to join the church. Maybe it's to get involved with a ministry. You say, Brother Bill, I know God wants me to get involved with a certain ministry. I've known it for quite some time, and I have 1,001 reasons why I don't want to do it. Brother Bill, that would take some faith. Listen, you look at the examples of faith in the Great Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. God asked them to do some pretty challenging things. Their Christian life wasn't just over and stopped and they stopped growing. No. God asked them to do some pretty amazing things. We're going to look at some of those here in just a moment. What is it that you know God wants you to do and it's difficult for you to do? Maybe it's to witness to someone. Maybe it's to give to a certain ministry or project of the church. You even know the amount God wants you to give. And you say, oh, Brother Bill, for me to write that check, boy, that would take some faith. Maybe it's to, are you ready for this? Maybe it's to forgive someone. I believe the great sin of the church today, at least one of them, is bitterness. Someone at some time did something to me, and I still am not over it. Every time I come to church, there's this cloud of bitterness over my head, and I sit down in the pew, and I'm not alone. I sit there with bitterness in my heart, and it's time to. And God says, "Hey, it's time to forget. It's time to let go, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you." I don't know. Maybe it's the surrender to the mission field. I don't know what it is. We can go on and on and on. God knows, and you know, what is it that you know without a shadow of a doubt God wants you to do, and yet it's difficult for you to do? It would take some faith. Now, with that in mind, I want to take a moment to look at the evidence of faith, at least some of the evidence of faith from Hebrews 11. And here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at some observations, three observations about the evidence of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. Let me give them to you. Number one, if you're taking notes, here it is. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not logical. Now that sounds sacrilegious and maybe a little bit of heretical, but don't throw a hymn book at me yet. Hear me out and let me explain what I mean. All I'm simply trying to say is this. Sometimes when God tells you to do something, it doesn't make sense in your mind. An example, how about a Bible example? Look at Hebrews 11. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What is that talking about? This is what it's talking about. Noah built an ark. Okay, God, what's an ark? Well, an ark is something you need, Noah, when there's a flood. Okay, what's a flood? Well, Noah, a flood is something that takes place when there's a lot of rain. Okay. What's the next question? What's rain? You're right. You get it. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it doesn't make any sense. Let me give you a more modern day illustration. Are you ready? Buckle up for this one. Tithing. Tithing. Some of you say, I'd rather build an ark than start tithing. Now listen. Tithing is a perfect example of this. Do you remember the first time you've just been saved a little bit of time and someone introduced you to the topic of tithing? It made no sense whatsoever. You thought you looked at your Bible, you looked at your bills, and then you looked at your budget, and then you looked at your Bible. And boy, you scratched your head, and if you normally went back and you looked at your bills, and then you looked at your budget, and then you came back to the Bible. And this is what you were thinking. If the very first check I write, and by the way, I believe that our tithe should be the very first check that we write when we get paid. Amen or oh my, amen. And so we think this way. If the very first check I write is my tithe check, then I won't have any money left over at the end of the month for this, that, or the other. And on paper, you'd be correct, but wait. Faith is obeying God, but it's not logical. And we can have testimony after testimony after testimony at this very sanctuary this morning of Christians who started obeying God with tithing, and God has blessed your finances ever since. Amen? Even though it didn't make a whole lot of sense when it was first introduced to you, it was a step of faith. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it doesn't make sense, when it's not logical. By the way, salvation is a tremendous illustration of this. Do you know that to a good majority of the world out there, Bible salvation makes no sense whatsoever? To a good majority of the world out there, this is what they think. When I stand before God one day, if my good outweighs my bad, I go to heaven. If my bad outweighs my good, I have to go to hell. And on paper, that makes perfect sense. But it's not Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, Jesus Christ. Not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. The true fact of the matter is this. If you could be good enough to go to heaven, Jesus Christ would have never had to come down to earth and die on the old rugged cross and take your sins upon him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Why? That the righteousness of God may be added to us, right? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so if we could be good enough to go to heaven, Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He didn't have to go to the old rugged cross for our sins. And yet, to a good majority of the world, Bible salvation doesn't make any sense. So if you're here today and you're saved, and I trust that you are, guess what? You've already taken the greatest step of faith that you could ever take, even though to a good majority of the world, it doesn't make any sense. By the way, obeying when it's not logical is something that we do all the time in the non-spiritual realm. For example, you may go to a doctor that you've never met. He may write a prescription that you most likely cannot read. If you're a doctor here this morning, I apologize. You take that prescription to a pharmacist that you most likely don't even see. And they give you a chemical compound that I'm almost sure you don't understand, and neither do I. And do you know what you do? You do the same thing I do. You obey the what? The prescription. May God help us to demonstrate that same kind of faith in the Christian realm. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not logical. Secondly, let me give this to you again. Some observations about the evidence of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. Number two, sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not logical, but sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. Look at verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now listen, there's all kinds of illustrations in this text about obeying God when it's not comfortable. We could talk about Gideon, 32,000 men down to 300. That had to be a little bit uncomfortable against the host of the Midianites. Are you kidding me? That had to be uncomfortable, especially if you were one of the 300 soldiers. We could talk about Moses leaving all of the comforts of Egypt to go wander around in the wilderness. We could talk about Joshua walking around the walls all those days, all those times. That had to be uncomfortable. And, of course, the walls just came a tumbling down. Well, of course they had to because there was a song written about it, and so the walls had to come tumbling down. But they didn't know that. They just did that by faith. That had to be uncomfortable. But there's probably no greater illustration in our text, or maybe in all of the Bible, than verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. I can't even imagine that, can you? Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, who thou lovest, and offer him as a sacrifice, offer him as a burnt offering. That had to be extremely uncomfortable. And yet, sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:7? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this: we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. I remember hearing a story one time, years ago, when I was a children's pastor, about a family that had a horrific house fire. Everyone escaped to the front lawn except for the little boy, about 4 or 5 years of age. He was heard in the upstairs window crying out to the family. The father went to the bottom of the window. He looked up and he said, "Son, jump and I'll get you." The little boy said, "Daddy, I can't jump because I can't see you." The smoke was just billowing out of that window. That little boy couldn't see anything. The father replied this way. He said, "Son, it's okay, jump. You may not be able to see me, but I can see you. Jump and you'll be saved." And guess what the little boy did? He jumped and he was saved. Now, I share that story to communicate this truth. Sometimes our step of faith feels like a big old leap. It's uncomfortable. It may make our heart beat a little faster. It may make our hands perspire. It may, our mouth may get dry. We may get nervous. You remember the first time that you had just been saved a little bit, and the pastor said, "Who would like to share a testimony tonight?" And boy, God told you to stand and give a testimony. Maybe God shared something with you from the Bible. Maybe he answered a prayer and God said, "Stand and give a testimony." And boy, you were scared to death. And yet you stood and you gave that testimony because God told you to do it. That step of faith at the time felt like a big old leap, but you did it because God told you to do it. Do you remember the first time you wrote that tithe check? Do you remember the first time you gave out that gospel tract? Remember the first time that you witnessed to your neighbor? Do you remember the first time you invited someone to church? Do you remember the first time you stood before that Sunday school class? I remember the first time I preached at this camp. I was standing right up here to the kids. I was scared to death. I remember the first time I preached in this church, behind that pulpit. I'm assuming it's the same pulpit. That pulpit couldn't have been any bigger for me. The bigger the better, because it hid me, you know, from everybody out there. And so sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. I grew up really deathly afraid of public speaking. I really did. Now, I was social. I enjoyed having friends, and I even enjoyed doing skits and being in plays. But you put me on a platform, just me, I didn't have anything to say. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. I was scared to death. Now, I share that to say this. When I was a pastor 15 years, one of the most difficult things for me to do was this. Are you ready? Brother Walt, what he's talking about. This was it. "Hello, my name is Bill, and this is my wife Amy, and we're just out inviting folks to church." I still get nervous doing that. I still have to make myself do that because it's uncomfortable for me. Now, you say, "Brother Bill, that's me. That's me. I'm uncomfortable doing that as well." But hey, I think you'll agree with me. Aren't we glad someone stepped out of their comfort zone to tell us about Christ? Yes. Don't other people in this community deserve the same opportunity? Sure they do. By the way, I'm sure it was uncomfortable for the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross of Calvary, hang on the cross. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. By the way, I end with this point. We walk by faith, not by sight. Do you know what the opposite of faith is? This is my opinion. And if you disagree, we can agree to disagree, hopefully without being disagreeable. But I believe the opposite of faith is feelings. When we don't walk by faith, we walk by sight. Feelings is when we say this. We choose what I think over what God says. well, I don't have to tithe because God knows my financial situation. So God's going to make an exception for me. You know what you just did? You chose rationalization over revelation. I had a lady one time tell me, and I can share stories now that I'm not a pastor. I can talk about people that were in my church and they won't come back to me. This isn't online or anything, right? I'm just joking. And so I had a lady one time tell me, Pastor, I'm not coming to church anymore because my business is really doing well and I just am extra busy. But don't worry, Pastor. I talked to God about it and the Holy Spirit said I was okay. Now, I know you know this. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do anything that goes contrary to the Bible. The Spirit of God is never going to say anything that goes against the Word of God. And you know what she did? She chose rationalization over revelation. I believe the opposite of faith is feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. Let me end with this. Number three, if you're taking notes, sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not desirable. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not logical. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. But sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not desirable. You know what that means? I just don't want to. Brother Bill, give me an illustration of that, okay? Every person in the Great Hall of Faith is an illustration of this. Why? Because they have something you and I have. It's called a will. And when God the Father told them to do something, they had a decision to make. I'm going to do what God wants, or I'm going to do what I want. But mark it down, they would never be in the Great Hall of Faith if they didn't learn to say, not my will, but thine be done. They wouldn't be in the Hall of Faith if they didn't learn to kick self off the throne of their heart and put the Savior there or the Sovereign there where he rightly deserves to be. And by the way, that's the key to the Christian life, I believe, is moment by moment doing what the Savior wants and not what self wants. Sometimes faith is obeying God when I just don't want to. By the way, you know this if you've been saved for any period of time. When we obey God when we don't want to, God has a way of changing our want to, doesn't he? Amen? Forgive me for using the Fennell family as an illustration. I'd love to stand before you as the poster child for faith, but it's just not the case. I'm a poor example of faith, but I would like to share our story quickly as a closing, as we start to wrap this up. As God's called us from pastor and missionary. I want to confess to you that when God began to work in my life about being a missionary with Worldview Ministries, I did not want to do it. It was not logical, it was not comfortable, it was not desirable to me. It wasn't logical to resign from a church that I think I could have retired from. We had just built a new building, and it was as if the Lord said, okay, you're in this new building, you can enjoy it for a few months, and now it's time for me to have you move on to somewhere else. I didn't like that. That wasn't logical in my mind. That didn't make any sense. I was going to retire from Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. It wasn't comfortable. In addition to saying goodbye to our church family, and certainly we still get to live in the area, but to say bye as their pastor, that broke our hearts. We still are still trying to get over that. We love our church family dearly. But in addition to that, we were also stepping out from underneath the umbrella of financial security. I was very thankful and very blessed to have a church that took good care of us. And when I became a missionary, I stepped out from underneath that umbrella of financial security. And at age 47, with a family of seven and a boy in college, we were saying bye to a paycheck and we were jumping into deputation for the first time. And I must confess to you, I was scared to death. I envied missionaries right out of college that didn't have a mortgage and they didn't have heating and gas bills and they didn't have, you know, all of it. And boy, I had all of that. God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to survive? It was uncomfortable to take that step. That step of faith felt like a big old leap. And then thirdly, it was not desirable for many, 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 many months. I won't even tell you how many. I'm embarrassed to admit it to you. But for many months, I don't want to. No. God, I'll be a missionary. I'll be a church planting missionary because then I could still be a pastor. God said no. God, I'll work at a Bible college. God said no. God, I'll even take another church if that's what you want me to do. I didn't want to. God said no. I want you to be a missionary with Worldview Ministries and represent the unreached people groups of the world still waiting for the Word of God. And I got to tell you something, church family, this morning, when we took that step of faith, even though it wasn't logical, comfortable, or desirable, that step felt like a big old leap. But when we took the step, God immediately started blessing our step. And he tells us that that's what he'll do. Verse 6, look at it again. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, the TV evangelist will tell you that that's some sort of prosperity gospel. That's some sort of cotton candy Christianity, where if you have enough faith, you'll never be sick and you'll have $1 million in the bank. That's just not the case. There's a Greek word for that. I know a little bit of Greek. Here it is. The Greek word for that is this, baloney. That's all I know. And I don't even know if that's right, actually. I'm not sure if that's actually right. But that's just not the truth. All verse number 6 is teaching us is this. Are you ready? Here it is. God is pleased when we do what he tells us to do. God is pleased when we obey. God is pleased when we take the step of faith, even though it's not always logical, even though it's not always comfortable, even though it's not always desirable. When we take that step of faith, God will bless us for it. God is pleased when we obey. There's 1,000 applications to verse number 6, but let me give you one that's been a blessing to the Fennell family as we've made this transition, and here it is. Verse number 6 teaches us that God can bless Bill Fennell better than I can bless Bill Fennell. And by the way, God can bless you better than you can bless yourself. But wait, you have to be in the place of blessing. You have to be an obedient child. You have to be found faithful. You have to be found walking by faith, not by sight. Years ago, we were having dinner around the table. Good old-fashioned American meal of pizza, pop, and potato chips. Amen. For some of you, that's the first time you've said amen in church in a long time, and I said pizza, pop, and potato chips. But anyway, we were having a good old-fashioned meal, eating pizza, pop, and potato chips on a Saturday night, and my third son, Chad, over there, just a little tyke at the time, probably about the same age as Cooper, and Chad interrupted Amy and I. We were talking, and he said, Daddy, may I have some potato chips? I said, sure, son, go ahead. And I didn't know this at the time, but he didn't take it. A few minutes later, he interrupted Amy and I again. We were talking to Amy and I, and he interrupted again. Daddy, may I have some potato chips? I said, sure. Son, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't know this at the time, but I didn't take it. Third time, a few minutes later, he interrupted. Now, by this time, you know, dads, we only have so much patience, you know. And so dad's starting to get a little bit upset. And thoughts are going through your mind, like, I'm going to feed him a potato chip with a slingshot in a minute if he doesn't take one, you know, those kind of thoughts. And so you start getting impatient, you start getting, a little angry, and, Daddy, may I have a potato chip? I said, yes, son, please, sure, take some potato chips. I take the bag, I move them over a little bit closer to him, and this is what he said, I'll never forget it. He said, no, Daddy, you do it. Your hand is bigger than my hand. Now, I'll never forget that. I remember that because it reminded me of this truth. My Father's hand is bigger than my hand. God can bless me a whole lot better than I can bless myself. And God can bless you better than you can bless yourself. But you need to be found faithful. You need to be walking by faith, not by sight. Here's the bottom line. You need to be doing exactly what God is telling you to do. And I end where I began. What is it that you know God wants you to do, and yet it's difficult for you to do? You would take a step of faith. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Don't look around. We'll just have a short time of invitation. Ask a couple questions, then turn it over to the pastor. How many would say with heads bowed, eyes closed, Brother Bill, God is speaking to my heart today about something specific, and I don't need to know what it is, but I'll pray for you and include you in our prayer. Brother Bill, pray for me. God is speaking to me about something specific. Can I see your hand this morning? Maybe it's to get involved with the ministry. Maybe it's to get baptized. Maybe it's to witness to someone. God's talking to me about something very specific, Brother Bill. Pray for me. Very good. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Maybe someone would say, Lord bless you. Anyone else? Maybe someone would say today, Brother Bill, pray for me. I've never taken the greatest step of faith, and that is the step of putting my faith and trust in Christ, and Christ alone to save me. Brother Bill, pray for me. I've come to realize I'm not a Christian today. Can I see your hand? Is there anyone like that? Anyone at all? You're in a good church. These folks love you very much. They know the Bible very well. They would be honored and thrilled to sit down with you and show you from the Bible how to be saved. Anyone like that? From the youngest to the oldest. Anyone in between? Would you stand at this time, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed as the music is playing? I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to open the invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand? We're going to pray. I'll say this before I pray. If God is speaking to your heart about something today, I'm not going to try to twist your arm at all about coming forward to the in the invitation, but sometimes, I'll just say this, sometimes our step of faith begins with a step towards the altar. You say, Brother Bill, that would make me uncomfortable. Well, sometimes faith is obeying God when it's uncomfortable. However God's leading. Father, we love you. Thank you for the time of studying your word. We pray, Father, that you'll bless now this time of invitation. Thank you for the hands that have gone up. I pray that you'll give them the courage and the humility to do what they know is right to do. And if there's even one here that has the least bit of doubts about their salvation, may they come forward and get that settled in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, as the music is playing, we invite